Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We have old sports just all around us here on the TVs. Like, it seems every sports channel is tapping in. Then it'll be the simulated stuff. Like, tomorrow this NBA 2K tournament starts, but just watch the Sabre game. I've got the 2001 World Series. Joe's now got some Knick game from the early 70s. I don't know.
It's a 70 NBA All-Star game, apparently.
1970 NBA All-Star game. It's a big world. We got a lot of old sports just teeming off the walls here. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. We are happy and proud to have Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz join us now on the Wester Hotline. How are you, Mr. Poloncarz?
I'm hanging in there, Mike. Hope everyone else is as well, too.
Did you not do the update today?
I did not. I left it to the Deputy County Executive, Maria White, and Dr. Burstein. I just can't do every single one of them, and I'm glad that they were able to fill in, but I was able to get on the phone with you guys today, so it's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
I hope we didn't pull you away from that.
I had another thing I had to do at 3 o'clock. So
okay,
we're trying to keep the press conferences at 3 every day, but there's days in which I'm just not going to be able to make it, and days that Gail won't be able to make it. Who knows who you'll be left with? Sometimes we might have depending who we're left with, we may have the Parks Commissioner and the Director of People with Disabilities on if we're all busy. So, but we'll have the continual updates. We just might not always be there.
So we know, you know, in general at least, what the numbers look like and have looked like locally, nationwide, worldwide. What is your state of mind about things with the knowledge or the likelihood, it seems, that this will get worse for a while still, statistically? But here we are all, or most of us at least, I think, I'd like to think, making these efforts and these sacrifices to flatten the curve, as they put it. I tend to be kind of optimistic about Western New York for a couple of reasons. Maybe I'll, you know, get into that with you here. What's your state of mind about the overall?
Well, we are going to get worse before we get better. We have 727 confirmed cases in Erie County. 607 of them are active. We have had 101 recoveries. That's a positive. But we had 7 more deaths since yesterday, so we're up to 19 deaths. We know, because people weren't taking it seriously, that there is COVID-19 in all age groups. It's not just seniors. We've had children as young as under than 5 that have it. There's a lot of 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds that have it. I don't think people took it seriously enough early on. I'm hoping they're keeping it serious and taking it serious now, but I'm still getting reports of congregations of people together. We know our parks are busy. If you're walking with your family that you live with, that's fine. But if you're walking with all of your friends as you're walking your dogs and there's 10 of you, that's really a dumb idea, because there's a good chance, based on the statistics, that one of you, if they do not have COVID-19, at least has been exposed to COVID-19, to the coronavirus. We're looking at weeks at least till we hit a peak. But the question is it 4 weeks? Is it 6 weeks? I really can't give you an answer. It could be more. We have models that run statistics based on the increases in Italy, the increases in China, the increases in New York City, from like the first case to the 100th case, and how long it took depending on the population. Because remember, we talk about Italy. We're not talking about all of Italy per se. We're talking mostly about the Lombardy region. Other parts of Italy have not been hit as hard. So you can do statistical analysis based on population. And depending on how the modeling goes, it could be weeks, it could be months. And I'm trying to be serious. People don't want to hear that always. But I was talking to a gentleman earlier today, and he's like, oh, you think we'll be back to normal in 2 or 3 weeks? And I gave him the answer, no. I'm sorry, but I just don't see that as the reality. I'm hoping we, by the time we get to summer, we do have a tremendous drop, but we're still going to be dealing with this one way or another because we expect the coronavirus to come back in the fall, maybe not as strong, but we do anticipate that we're going to be dealing with this for some time one way or another.
Mark, as it pertains to groups gathering, people in the park and that sort of thing, how proactive can government be on policing that sort of thing? It's a very new frontier, I think, obviously, as it pertains to that sort of thing, for people to look at that critically, or even, I don't know, criminally. But like, what sort of enforcement can there be of those sorts of policies?
Well, it's not easy. If it's a bar, restaurant, or a place that's shut down, we can send our sanitarians out there from the Erie County Department of Health with a sheriff's deputy and write a commission order and shut them down, and they could be fined or have their liquor license pulled. If it's people hanging on the parks, we can have our sheriffs working in concert with the rangers and others from the Parks Department to try to break up the congregation of individuals. Most people have been pretty good about trying to avoid being around people that they haven't been around, but not everyone has. We had to shut down the disc golf in our parks, frolf as it's sometimes called, because people were not breaking up into smaller groups. They were going out in like 8 and 10-somes, we heard. And then, of course, they're tossing their discs, and it ends up in the basket. And then they reach in and touch the basket, get their disc. I mean, you could be transmitting COVID-19. So working with the local disc golf association, we agreed to shut them down, which meant taking the baskets out. And if we couldn't take the baskets off the poles because of them being rusted out, we just cut the damn pole right off. And some of the disc golf folks were mad. And it's an example just like the bars and restaurants. They went for the money. And they thought it'd be great. We'll get the extra cash. We'll get people in here, even when they said that they shouldn't be congregating. And it just, we shut everyone else down because of it. No, it's only takeout.
I know a couple of places it was reported over the weekend. And I mean, I saw you tweeting about it, that we're in violation. I guess it would have been last Friday night into Saturday. And have there been others that have not been reported on, or have we only had those two instances where establishments opened, one in Clarence, one in the First Ward, trying to get, get around the shutdown orders?
It's the only two that we've shut down with the commissioner's orders, and we think actually shutting them down sent a message to the rest. We have gotten an occasional information from the public, and we'll send a sanitarian out there. They'll see like a full parking lot. We'll go out there and we'll determine that, no, they don't have any dining in. They are doing takeout, and maybe they've got 20 cars in the parking lot because they got 20 people working in the restaurant. We have gone out on additional calls. We have not had to shut anyone else down, to my knowledge. I would have known about it if we did. And I think that those two shutdowns sent a message to the rest that every one of these violations is subject to a $10,000 fine. And I don't care how much you're making sitting at the bar selling a few Jenny Lights and chicken fingers. You're not making $10,000 that night. And is it worth having a $10,000 fine and potentially losing your liquor license? Of course not. So I think the message got out there to the rest of them that we're tempted to do it, that go ahead, we'll send the folks out and we'll shut you down. So I'm glad to say that since then we haven't had any actual documented cases where we had to shut anybody down. But we have gotten calls and we'll go out and check on it.
With Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, this is WGR. you talked about the challenges of the statistics, and I've been reading a lot about that. 538 last night, like, there's, for so many reasons that make sense, it's just been really tough to have statistics really define what we're looking at in this situation. I have been, relatively speaking, somewhat optimistic about Western New York. I have been impressed with you and your leadership, and the fact that in New York State, with the terrible scene that it's been and continues to be in New York City, the governor was out, pretty firm and good. Like, no, this you stay home and all the mandates from that. So I want to think, I don't, maybe you just want to comment on this, and I don't want, you know, of course it's serious and it's not going to be consolation to anybody who's, you know, who's sick. But I want to be optimistic for Western New York because of these reasons.
I think most people are adhering to it. Our problem was it didn't happen initially. There were churches that said, well, you know, we're okay to congregate. And then you get the reports a week later that a bunch of the people who went to the church for their service are now sick. We know the people who were partying the week before St. Patrick's Day, and then they were mad when we shut down the parades. Well, we've also gotten reports of individuals who are out partying that St. Patrick's Day week are sick now. I see the names. I do know a few of the people who are sick. So it's not like I look at that and I don't recognize names. I actually do recognize some of the names from people I either know in the community or I know who they are. And I feel for them. I don't know how they caught it. For those who went out and partied and said, to heck with it, I'm young, I don't have to worry about this, they put themselves at risk. They've caught it, and they may pass it on to someone else. Maybe they get through it. Maybe they're fine with mild symptoms or no symptoms at all. If they have no symptoms at all, we probably don't know about it because in all likelihood they haven't been tested. But they could pass it on to a loved one, a senior, grandparent. As I said, don't kill grandma. If you're going to go out and party, you might end up taking it home and going to get some corned beef at grandma's house later, and you could kill her. And the vast majority of the people who've died in Erie County are over the age of at least 65. So I think it's important that people realize what your actions can do to someone else. They say we're our brothers and sisters keeper. Well, we have to do that. So that means, yeah, it's not so great. We've shut down. Our economy is a mess right now. But the economy of the entire country is a mess. It's not like we're any worse than anywhere else. I saw a news report about comparing our economy and how bad it was, and I'm thinking, we're no better or worse than anywhere else. So it's like doing comparisons at that point is kind of silly. Everyone's in the same boat. And the only way we're going to get through this, considering we're all in the same boat, is to follow the rules. I'd like to think most people are, but I know not everyone is. And as a result, they're putting other people at risk. Mm-hmm. And they're putting our healthcare workers at risk. Because if people get sick, they're often going to hospitals, urgent cares, doctor's offices. And what have we seen among a lot of the people that the county's been testing lately is we test healthcare workers, we test law enforcement, we test first responders. And there's a lot of them that are getting sick. Why? Because they're getting in contact with individuals who are sick for one reason or another. And the last thing we can afford to do is have our healthcare workers and first responders go down. Because if they go down, who is going to be out there to provide for them? And so that's why I keep on saying we have to follow these physical distancing guidelines. We can still socially connect. I can play guitar videos every now and then. You see Bulldogs videos. I don't know about you, Mike. What are you doing?
I mean, look at you two. I have no chance. I'm not even going to start.
But
did you not see Tuna Discus yesterday, Mark?
Tuna Discus.
Did you not see Tuna Discus?
Yeah, my kids are 10 and 8. We're figuring it out. We're inventing stuff to do.
I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a staged reading of your favorite book or the play-by-play of a famous call, but we all need to do stuff like that. But we need to do it from a distance. And if we're not going to get through this any quicker. And that's the thing. I've got models that show us flattening the curve and not flattening the curve. And if we don't flatten the curve, we'll get through this quicker in some ways. But there'll be thousands and thousands of people who will die in the community. If we flatten the curve, it might take a little longer to get through it, but there'll be less hospitalizations, less people who die. So, yeah, we can afford to hang out for weeks or months and deal with this. It's not going to be pretty, but I'd rather do that than just have mass hospitalizations and deaths in which we're all going to know somebody who dies at that point.
So, I'm sorry, Bulldog, go ahead. You go next.
I don't want to get too far into this maybe now. Maybe you can wait until later in the conversation, but you brought up the guitar video thing, Mark. And I'm just curious. I mean, I don't feel like I know you real well, but I feel like I know you some. And I'm wondering how much you wrestled with doing that at all, because I think you're always going to get some segment of the population that, that the feedback is going to be, oh, great, he's got time to sing a Goo Goo Doll song. And so I'm wondering, like if you or even people who advise you were maybe hesitant to have you, you know, just do that, present yourself that way.
The answer is yes. Yes, I knew that I'd get feedback, and my staff was like, oh, there he goes again, something we'd rather he didn't do. But, you know, I got to have a stress relief, too. I'm dealing with things that most people have never even comprehended. I mean, they're all upset about, well, I can't get a test. I'm dealing with decisions on where I'm going to put a refrigerated container for the excess bodies. So when I get home at night, if I decide to pick up the guitar yeah. and start playing and singing, and I used to play in a band years ago. I was a singer in a band years ago. And I go to parties every now and then, and they'll be like, hey, bring your guitar and play a few tunes. So literally a friend said, you know, unfortunately, I guess you're not going to be doing any parties and tunes anytime soon. I said, well, not in person, but maybe I'll do one on video, and just decided to do it the one night. And yes, there's been critique. I've had a couple people in media critique me, saying it's stupid, he's wasting his time. I mean, if at 9 o'clock at night, after basically spending 10 to 12 hours at work, I come home and pick up the guitar and sing a song, and people like it. That's an interesting thing, is yeah. a lot of people like it. A lot of people say it offers them, it calms them down to know that, hey, he's not an automaton, he's not a robot, and oh, by the way, he likes the song, he can play the guitar and sing to a song I like. I mean, isn't that what this is supposed to be about? It's supposed to be about coming together and finding a way to get through this, and if it's me playing the guitar, if it's you playing the guitar, if it's Mr. Salvatore singing his favorite tunes, Russ Salvatore doing that. So why would anybody criticize them?
Yeah, and
if it makes people feel better, then that's what we should be doing at this point.
The technology is our friend in a lot of ways for this, for information and for these sort of diversions. Beyond the all-important message, and we've here been pushing that message ourselves for 3+ weeks now, stay home, et cetera. What else might people be able to do that is helpful? Is it donations? Is it producing things? Like, what might be interesting to know about as far as that goes? And then also, before we're done here, we've got to know, what about people in all the questions you're getting too? Like, people whose business is closing, and all the different, you know, real life stuff, unemployment, these kinds of things. What, In the short time we have, what can you help people who need help with?
Well, first off, if you have a direct healthcare question regarding COVID-19, you can call our hotline at 858-2929 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. daily. That is a call center that's in the Rath building downtown. We have trained individuals who've pretty much gotten every question you can imagine now, who are there to answer the phone. If you have general questions regarding services, like how do I apply for unemployment insurance, which is through New York State, you can call 211. You can also, of course, look for this stuff online, New York State Unemployment Insurance. We know they're having problems taking applications. We've had a lot of people say, can you take the applications in Erie County? And the answer is no, we don't have anything to do with unemployment insurance. So we feel people's pain, but there's not a whole lot we can do because it's really in New York State's hands. People can do other things. I mean, we are telling folks that you can go out, go for walks, go for bike rides with your family. Our parks are open, but be smart about it. Don't congregate in a group. Don't go to the same park. We've had problems at Chestnut Ridge Park where there's too many people there. Same thing at Delaware Park for the city of Buffalo. But there's lots of other parks that you can go to. Take the football out, throw with your kids. Baseball out, throw with your kids. Don't get a group of baseball, a team together. That would be bad. But people are doing that. We've heard stories of soccer teams like coming together, and we're like, no, please don't. And then you hear from the parents, well, we hear kids don't get it. I'm like, well, we know kids can get it because we've got kids in this area who have it. So people can still do things. They can, of course, make donations to, like, the Food Bank of Western New York.
Mm-hmm.
Local food pantries are really hurting, and they also are hurting for volunteers. Many of the volunteers in these food pantries and these types of organizations are usually over the age of 70. And these individuals are being told, don't go out, don't go to a setting where you potentially could come at risk. with someone who has the coronavirus, and then these individuals, of course, that have a much more higher degree of being hospitalized or dying. So if you've never thought about donating or helping out at the local food pantry, now's the time to do it. You could call. There's food pantries in almost every community, in the urban, suburban, and rural areas. The Food Bank of Western New York is taking donations of food and, of course, money, and they may need volunteers, so you could look them up online. Last I knew that they were doing okay, but the food pantries were having serious problems. There's a lot of organizations out there that are in need of help at this time. And so if you've never volunteered for one, and even if you put in 1 or 2 hours a week, it could mean a huge difference for that organization.
Also blood, right?
Yes, there was a huge problem nationwide and also locally with donations to blood for blood banks. The Red Cross, as well as Connect Life, are two main organizations that are taking blood in the region. I know we seem to have stepped up, as Western New York often does, and with their blood numbers were not normal, but they were better than they were. But if you're a blood donor and you haven't done it in a while, you might want to do it. If you've never done it, now's a great time to start. For people wondering, can the coronavirus be transmitted by blood? We have no evidence of that. The coronavirus, the virus itself, is generally transmitted through respiratory issues, sneezing, coughing, touching a surface that has it. It's not something that we are aware of that can be transmitted through a blood donation. So giving blood or receiving blood, you generally are, to my knowledge and what we've seen from the medical experts, you would not put yourself at risk to the coronavirus. So that's something you might want to think about doing.
Mark, a lot of what we've heard day to day from the governor has been, certainly it's been focused on New York City and the shortage of hospital beds and equipment. You know, we're recognizing here that we're, you know, an uncertain duration of weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks out from what could be the peak of it locally. How prepared do you feel like with that amount of lead time are the hospitals in the area with, you know, masks, protective equipment, and then even like the big one, respirators?
We're in a better place than we are because everyone's behind. We did receive earlier this week a shipment of N95 masks, surgical masks, gowns, gloves, face shields, which from New York State, which we were distributing out to healthcare organizations with the 50% of it going to the hospitals. Erie County has a big order that's coming in of N95 masks. Of 400,000 of them. The first batch will start receiving them on the 10th. We're trying to find other alternatives as well because we know 400,000 sounds like a lot, but if we get as many cases as we potentially could, well, that's not going to get us through where we need to be. New York City is in a really bad position. I don't think anyone is sitting here, and I certainly hope they're not, thinking that, well, just because New York City's got all these cases that we're being ignored, because we're not being ignored. I'm on the phone with the governor's staff, talked to the lieutenant governor recently, reached out back and forth with the governor. He's kind of tough to get on the phone, but we've texted. They know what's going on here. But to give you an idea, I mean, as I said, we had 124 new cases today. We still have 727 confirmed. Now, we know that there's more of them in the community than the confirmed. I'm looking right now, and as of 9:30 this morning, there were 48,462 cases in New York City. That does not include Westchester County. That does not include Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County. They're in a really bad spot, and they are our New York State brethren, and we're helping out as best as we can. They thankfully have not talked about shipping patients here yet or asking for our supplies. We have had some personnel go down there under the assumption that if we needed to bring them back, we could bring them back. But it's really bad down there. I talked to my colleagues, they're just every day they just shake their head. And when we talk on the phone or texting, and they're just like, I thought it was going to be a good day, and it's another bad day. And we have 19 deaths here. Nassau County, which is a little larger, I think they're up to 70 deaths. But, of course, New York City, they've got, as of this morning, had 1,397 deaths. Yeah, New York City's big. But still, that's a lot of people who have died as a result of the coronavirus, and some of those are healthcare workers. So we need to support them as best as they can, knowing that they're going to be in a worse shape than we are for quite some time. And when we actually are at our peak, we probably will never be as bad as New York City just because we don't have the density that they do. But we could still get it bad here. And I want people to understand that, yeah, we're never going to have as many deaths as New York City would in a situation unless we just completely ignore all community standards of physical distancing and go about our normal business, then we're going to have a problem that we cannot take care of. So we've worked with the Army Corps of Engineers. They're finalizing a plan right now and converting the convention center into a COVID ICU hospital with potentially up to 1,000 beds. We thankfully are in still a good position with regards to our hospitalization. And I actually get reports at the end of the day of all hospital beds, ICU beds, non-ICU beds. And as you say, here in New York City, they basically are full, and they're converting every hospital into an ICU hospital solely for COVID. I mean, we currently have over 1,300 beds available in Erie County total, and we got about 200 ICU beds. Now, within a few weeks, we're not going to have 200 ICU beds available, so that's why we're talking about turning the convention center into a hospital for COVID patients only. So our goal is to flatten the curve as much as we can. We know even with flattening the curve, there's still going to be a lot of people who are going to get COVID-19, and a lot of people are going to get sick, and a lot of people who are going to die. But if we can control that so it's not happening all at once, because some of the modeling shows that if you don't do anything and it happens all at once, it's just not pretty. I look at those numbers, and I have not talked about them publicly, but it's not the kind of thing that I think this community could even think about contemplating. So we need to avoid that. And the best way to do that is to continue to physically distance from each other, connect socially, but don't put us others in a situation where you're spreading COVID-19, because then it reduces our ability to respond by hospitals. And then it puts those workers at risk. So if we can continue doing that, and I know, Mike, you're saying you feel positive, if we can do that, we'll be in a much better situation. It's still not going to be great, but it won't be the worst case situation, which is really a worst case situation.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Poloncarz, thanks for your time and all your efforts. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Everyone stay safe, be well, and socially distant from each other. And I'm going to continue to enjoy Bulldog's guitar videos. And I do expect something from you, Mike. I don't care what it is. I do expect something.
I mean, I did something yesterday, but it you can't sing to it. So I'll try to do better, but we'll work on it.
Mark, thank you. My buddy John Gale, he's Canadian. He wants to see you play something on the Rickenbacker. Just so you know, I don't know if you're taking requests.
Guessing gets out of tune too much, though. That's the only problem. I need a super work job on that. But I might have some good old Canadian music, some Tragically Hip coming up soon.
All right, good. Yeah.
We're taking requests from Canada right now? Is that appropriate? Get in line, Mr. Gale. All right. Thanks again, sir.
You're welcome. Take care, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.